And Mr. Cawthorn, some time?
Organize myself here for a moment, Your Honor. Your Honor, let me address a couple of questions that you had a moment ago. We did not say this court is not bound by Section 514. What we said is it is not the only way to comply with HIPAA. 512E is a route of compliance with HIPAA. You do not have to both comply with 512E and 514. The fact that we are willing to do so here, you know, doesn't mean that we have to comply with 514. We're saying we don't need the information that's at issue in 514. We have, but 512 is how we originally went at this. That was my only point, and I apologize for the confusion there. Your Honor, Judge Mannion, Judge Casey has found these documents relevant. He did so in a hearing that predated the New York Presbyterian order that he issued last week. He said these documents are relevant, and I will have them produced.
Yeah, but has he ever explained why he thought they were relevant?
Well, he didn't. He didn't go into detail. He simply explained.
So we don't know why he thinks.
That is correct, Your Honor. But he has ordered the production of
now. Mr. Gallen has challenged you. Explain in the leukemia case. Well, what is it that you could hope to get from that medical report?
Your Honor, the first question is which procedure was performed here. If an induction procedure may have been performed here, where DNX might be performed, it may be the DNX is not necessary to treat that particular.
What would the record show on that?
It would show the method of abortion. As a matter of fact, under Illinois law, in almost every state, the hospitals have to report the method of abortion to the state, so they keep them. The record shows the method of abortion.
Are you trying to show that maybe he's never performed these operations?
No, he said he's performed the procedure. I'm trying to see the circumstances in which he performed this procedure. Our request wasn't just at DNX. It was any abortion procedure.
Is Mr. Gallen correct that you just want 45 records?
Your Honor, we want what is responsive to the document request. If that is all there is, that's what we want.
And what is it you think they might show that he didn't perform DNXs in those cases?
It might show that he didn't perform DNX in all circumstances where he says it's medically necessary. That is correct. So there are different methods of abortion here that are in play, and if he is performing an induction procedure in a circumstance that he says DNX offers superior safety advantages, that undermines his claim that DNX is a superior.
Well, can't you ask him whether in that leukemia case he did a DNX?
Well, again, when we asked specific questions, and I'm happy to provide this court with the deposition transcript, which has not been provided, but when we asked specific questions about specific patients, he did not always recall.
Well, did you ask him the question, did you really do a DNX on the leukemia person?
I don't think we asked that specific question, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you didn't ask that specific question, what are you going to do with the record?
Well, Your Honor, there is a matter of assessing the range of situations.
No, I understand. You answered me, I thought, well, when you said, well, if he didn't do the DNX in the leukemia case, that would certainly undermine his testimony that is the kind of case where it's the superior procedure. Now you say you haven't asked him whether he did it.
We asked him the question about the particular patient that he discussed about leukemia. It was one patient that he discussed. But the record.
But did you ask him whether, in fact, he performed a DNX in that case?
In that case,
yes,
he discussed intact DNA.
Did he do it in that case?
In that case, yes.
Then what's the record going to show that he's lying?
It's not that record that will necessarily show. It may be that.
Is that one of the 45?
Your Honor, I assume that it is. It should be responsive to our request.
Okay, so that one isn't going to show anything. Is something else going to show?
It may be that he
has
similarly situated patients.
Well, now they're off in somewhere else.
Your Honor, that is the answer.
What is that record going to show?
That record...
You're not interested in that record.
No, no, that record could be relevant for a different reason.
Yeah, let me just try to just interject just one minute here. What you're saying is that he is saying that DNX was required in this leukemia situation. You're saying, what if there's another leukemia situation? He didn't use DNX. So therefore, another methodology might have been appropriate.
That's
one. My question is, aren't there other experts that are going to look at, that are going to testify that in a leukemia situation, as he described, there were other methods? So there's minimal value in terms of impeaching him. I'm trying to get to what, you know, how you would use it. Is that how you were anticipating that, using it?
As far as impeachment goes, or understanding the basis of his testimony, it may be that with the particular record that we're talking about, Your Honor, I haven't seen it, so I can't answer for sure, but it may be that our experts, by examining the medical history of the particular individual, are able to explain that situation did not require the partial birth abortion.
But I'm going to assume that your experts are going to say anyway that DNXs are not required under any of these, you know, whether people have leukemia, whether they have cancer, they're going to say all these other alternative methods are available. I'm trying to get in, you know, it seems to me when we're weighing this, in light of all the testimony that's going to come in, the testimony of Hammond would be very small. I'm just trying to get at what would be, you know, that testimony.
Well, Your Honor, I have to respectfully disagree with you the fact that our experts may testify to a contrary conclusion necessarily means these records are irrelevant, because it may be that our experts have a better understanding of exactly why Dr. Hammond is saying what he is, but based on the medical histories of the patients that present. So they would be able to testify better to rebut the testimony of Dr. Hammond. So I don't think the fact that we have experts that are going to say X while they say Y necessarily answers the question of the relevant
documents. In the earlier rounds, the Stenberg and the Carhart, okay, or whatever it is, and our case, were any medical records presented?
Not that I am aware of. But I haven't gone through the trial records of all of those cases.
Now, Mr. Gallant said that when they made their 45C argument to Judge Koukouras, you just responded in a couple of sentences.
Well, we responded for the very reasons we're responding here. We may have articulated it with more specific sites.
Well, I don't understand. You don't seem to take 45C very seriously. I mean, what Mr. Gallant said about, you know, women don't want their records, even in redacted form, flogged around a New York courtroom and put on the internet and all that stuff, that's certainly, you know, something. So that's something. Now, doesn't it behoove you to show not merely that these things are relevant in a discovery sense where almost anything is relevant, but, you know, you really have something significant, mm-hmm. And you I think you've been struggling to try to show. No, the reason I brought up the earlier cases, like Stenberg and Carhart and our two cases, Doyle and Ryan, I think it was, is those were, you know, passionately litigated cases, and apparently no one even thought it was interesting to find a patient record. I don't remember any. We were on that case. I don't remember any. Any reference to that as something, you know, interesting or important to have?
Your Honor, I am not bound by the litigation tactics.
I know you're not, but the fact that able lawyers went through years of multiple litigations over this partial birth abortion without it occurring to anybody to look at the medical records, when the literature problem that you complained about, the lack of studies, was even more conspicuous 3 or 4 years ago, doesn't that Shouldn't that make us wonder whether this stuff is as important as you're saying?
I don't believe so, and I don't believe there has been a change. There has been no change in the fact that there are no studies about partial birth abortion. There are simply no published studies. There are, of course, studies about other methods of abortion, but there are no studies about partial birth abortion. And Congress found that. Stenberg also found it. There simply has been no change, Your Honor. We have no medical records with which to debate this issue. So I don't think it changes anything. Let me address another question, Judge Posner, that you had earlier about the application of the sort of absolute rule of privilege that the hospital is pressing under state law. They argue that parties can always waive, but there are a number of circumstances where the federal government, outside the abortion context and healthcare specifically, where the federal government looks at third-party records. The HIPAA rule discusses it. Federal health benefits audits by the federal government, healthcare fraud investigations. There are any number of situations where the federal government's interests would be severely impeded. And the state privilege law simply doesn't speak to that because it really is addressed to particular forms of state practice, of state murder trials.
Isn't that an oversight on the part of HHS? Because Mr. Gallin quoted that passage from the preamble to the final promulgation.
Your Honor, that passage speaks only to the effect of the final rule, not to the effect of any other federal law like FRE 501. So, as we said...
That doesn't really sound right, because... Well, in your view, 164, 512, and 514 have absolutely no relevance to what happens in a courtroom. And that clearly
Your Honor,
reflected in that preamble, was it?
Your Honor, I don't believe that's what I said.
I think it is what five you said.
Five.
You said a court would decide, or as it pleased, whether to honor 212, 512, or 514 in a litigation.
No, Your Honor, what I said is a court will decide the scope of federal evidentiary privileges.
Without regard to 512 or 514.
That is correct.
So those would have no effect in a courtroom.
Well, they have an effect in the sense that the court should consider, especially in this setting.
What do you mean, should?
Well, in response to the comedy argument that Northwestern has made here, the court has to consider the federal interests that are at stake in 514. And what 514 has said is that redacted medical records don't even implicate federal privacy interests. So to the extent
So your view is that 512 and 514, despite the more stringent rule, actually argue for laxer privilege standards than would otherwise be the federal common law rule.
I mean the federal common law to date has recognized.
What do you think is the bearing of 512 and 514 in litigation?
I'll tell you in this litigation, we have to either get court authorization or court order under 512, or have the information completely redacted under 514 in order to comply with HIPAA. Now, state privilege rules do not apply in the context of a federal question proceeding.
So in other words, since you can always ask a judge to admit evidence, so 512 really has nothing to do with litigation.
Once we get a court order, a subpoena, then you have to look to Rule 501 to determine the privilege.
Right. So 514 has no effect.
Well, it has an effect in determining whether there is a federal common law privilege here, because I think you have to look to the development of federal privacy interests and the development of state the statement of sort of the state privilege rule. So 514 definitely has an impact in determining whether there should be recognized a new federal common law privilege. And what it says is, as long as the information is stripped out, that identifying information is stripped out, there's no federal privacy, there's no individually identifiable information, and there's no federal privacy interest. So I think that it does speak in the sense of determining the scope of a federal common law privilege, which of course this court has never recognized as a physician-patient privilege. But having said that, the real question is whether there is such a privilege in redacted medical information. HIPAA says there is no privilege because it doesn't speak to privilege, but it also says there's no privacy interest when the information is redacted, and that's consistent with
except for the more stringent state rules.
Well, except that the more stringent state rules only apply where they would otherwise apply, as the comments to the regulations repeatedly say. So for instance, if another federal law came into play, like 501, and provided another rule, it would have independent preemptive effect, and that's what HHS repeatedly said, Your Honor. We cited it in our brief. It's at page 60,001 of the 64 Federal Register, and at the end of the day, HHS, what they concluded, and I'm quoting, we do not think that it is the intent of the 264C2, the anti-preemption provision, to give effect to state law that it would not otherwise have in the absence of 264C2. All it is a savings clause. It doesn't say state law is incorporated into federal law. All it says is there's nothing in the HIPAA privacy rule that supersedes state law. And what HHS has interpreted that to mean is where it otherwise applies. So that's the brunt of Judge Casey's ruling, which I know you're not reviewing here, Your Honor, but I think in that critical respect, he's correct. 264C2 doesn't somehow magically transform state privilege law into federal privilege law. It simply doesn't have that effect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Your Honor, do you have anything else?
I don't. I think that I've covered taking enough of your time today, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.